We're so thankful that you could be with us this morning and be praying for our children's church, those little ones as they go out. And we've got some wonderful teachers back there, and pray that the Word of God is hidden in their hearts and their lives. We live in troubled days, don't we? So we want to instruct our little ones. Let's talk and meditate for a few moments as we prepare for the Lord's table. I want to speak with you about our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, and His glory. And I'd like to just think and meditate for a few moments on the question, can people really change? The Scripture says that insanity is, there's a saying that says that insanity is doing the same thing over and over when it doesn't work. And I think there's probably some truth to that. I think in some ways we're all a little crazy. My wife says, well, you're a lot crazy. But the deal is that, when it comes to change, change is often a difficult thing. You sit with the spouse that says he or she will never change, and it's an area of conflict. And change, if it comes, often comes slow for people, and so it happens corporately as well. If we look through the years and years of human history, and we see, well, there's been so many different types of government tried, but a lot of it's just doing things over and over. And, as far as actual improvement or change, there's not been any great improvement or change. We still have the difficulties and problems of greed and selfishness and the abuse of power. And it's been there from the beginning for as far back as history has been recorded. And those things we've had to deal with, and you just look at it, well, the human race is crazy. It's insane because it never changes. And we repeat, and we seem to be doomed to repeat history and over, and our governments are still corrupt, and we can't seem to get out of the spin, and yet we constantly try to change, make efforts to change, often by doing the same thing over and over. So maybe we're all crazy. One thing is for certain, though, change is a difficult thing. And we can look at our lives, look at maybe some of the circumstances that we have gotten ourselves into, and we realize there are certain patterns or habits or things that have happened to us or that we have done to ourselves, and we find ourselves enslaved. Jesus said, he that commits sin is a slave to sin. And that's very, very true, isn't it? But change is something that is spoken of in Scripture. And I wanted to look at it for just a moment. There's a word there that is a word that's used for change. It's the word that we use. The Greek word is actually taken off in English. It's a word for metamorphosis or change, and the idea is to change into another form or transform or to fit, transfigure. We saw Christ, his appearance was at the transfiguration. He was metamorphosized. His glory was seen by the apostles there on the mount at the transfiguration. But to transfigure or to change is one of the purposes that are given to us in Scripture. In fact, there's two things. And what I want to do this morning is just direct your thoughts for a few moments about the glory of Jesus Christ and how it is transforming. There's a transforming glory in salvation. And so what does it mean for us actually to experience or know change in the Christian life? I want to say there's two points that I want to make here this morning. If you're taking jotting a note down, one, we're commanded to change in Scripture. So while it's okay for you to say, to your spouse or to your children or children to your parents. Well, it's just the way that I am, or you know, that's a pattern or habit in me that I can't seem to change. We're not excused, because the Scripture says that we are to be, and we're commanded to change. In other words, in Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So there's a proving in God's people of God's will and God's ways when our minds are renewed, when we reject the values and the conformity to this world, and we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So God intends for His people to be transformed, to be changed by the renewing, or through the process of renewing of our minds. And that means something that we emphasize here so much is we can do a lot of different activities at church and a lot of different things. But teaching God's Word has transforming power. It renews our mind. It changes our values as we see God's will and His ways. Then our thinking is transformed. And as our thinking is transformed, then we begin to be transformed. And the purpose is that we're more in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're, in a sense, a walking epistle. This is what God's Word says. This is how it's lived out. And as that Word is being lived out in our lives, then we are proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I think that we can say that God wants us to change. The problem is that we can't change ourselves, can we? There's a lot of different efforts that we might make, but the point is that we are changed by a mental renewal, whereby God's Word, God's will, God's way transforms our values, transforms and moves us from conformity to this world to conformity to our Lord Jesus Christ and to God's ways. We prove His good and acceptable and perfect will. Not only does the Scripture tell us that we're to change by mental renewal, by the way we think, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our thoughts are brought under captivity to God's Word, to God's will. And then, but secondly, the Scripture tells us that we're to change in Romans 6, that whereas we were slaves to sin, that we had to serve sin because we were enslaved to it, now we're to become slaves to righteousness. I love what the Scripture says there in Romans chapter 6. It says, the members of your body are instruments set. It's usually translated instruments of righteousness, but the word is the word for weapons. You know, so your instruments were weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but now they're to be weapons of righteousness to holiness. And so God expects and desires for us to change, and that's the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we might know this change. Romans 6:6-7 says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." So we were slaves, but now we're to be free from sin. We don't have to sin to serve unrighteousness any longer. And then another point that we might make is that change was declared to be necessary for God's kingdom. Did you know that? Jesus, in fact, when he was speaking with Nicodemus there in John chapter 3 and verse 2, he answered and said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." So what's he saying? Nicodemus, you need to be changed. He's saying you need to be born again. Something needs to happen in your life, because now bear in mind that Nicodemus was a religious person. And he knew the law. He was a great teacher of the law in Israel in Christ's day, in fact, and part of the Sanhedrin. And so there Nicodemus was, and Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, you must change. You must be born again. You must experience life in new life. And so the scripture says, therefore, we are new creatures in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's change. That's metamorphing. It's transforming from that which was our old man, was dead in sin and a slave to sin, and our new man is to be new and alive. So, bringing us to point two, you know, we were first of all commanded to change, and we see that in Romans 12:2, where our minds are renewed. We see that we're slaves no longer to sin, but now to righteousness. We see that, and that there must be a complete transformation in becoming children of God. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, not by the works of men nor by the power of flesh, but by the will of God. It was the power of the gospel brings change. And so in John 3:2, as Jesus was saying, there must be that transformation. Those three points make it very clear that God desires and has commanded change in our lives. Then secondly, we're taught how to change in Scripture. Isn't it good to know that God doesn't just leave us out there? But I think it's important for us to go, because our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ around this table this morning is that He redeemed us and paid the penalty for our sin. But He has also freed us from the power and the grip of sin over our lives. And He desires for you to be free. Don't you want to be free? He desires that there would be change, transformation in our lives. And let me just say this. Change or reformation doesn't happen by human strength or ingenuity. We can't figure it out. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if we go back to the beginning of history and we look at the failed attempts at the rule of man in different kingdoms in different ways, through democracy or through a monarchy or through whatever form of government has ever been dreamed up, we still come to the same problem, that man can't make the essential changes. That's why Jesus Christ, His coming in the flesh, is so crucial and so important, and it is essential that we remember it this morning. And personally, if we try and try and try, it really is true when that spouse says, that person will never change. And you know, in their own strength, apart from God's supernatural intervention in our lives, we just simply can't affect a whole lot of change. Now, we can rehabilitate a little bit and do this and that, but it's all failed attempts for genuine change. And Jesus Christ knew and understood that it was essential for Him to go to the cross of Calvary to deal with the problem of sin so that there could be real change in our lives. So, you know, we don't have to continue in these patterns. God has come. Christ has come to make us free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Do we believe His Word? Do we believe the Scripture? And then there's hope for us then, isn't there? We can know freedom from this rut that mankind is in, personally and even corporately. And I believe that corporately we'll never know the fullness that God intends for human government until our Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up reign during His second coming. Doesn't it make sense that only God, only a ruler who is unselfish to the point of giving His life for others, could rule justly over the world? And so we need the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Our government's always going to be corrupt. We're dealing with stuff now with the bureaucracy. And, you know, if you get right down to the heart of the issue, it's greed and using power in an improper way. And so we pray, though, and we realize that we live in a fallen world, and we act uprightly before the Lord God. So we get challenged with such things. But some people try to change through religious works or doing good deeds. And you can do those things, but it won't change you. It doesn't change a person from the inside. Some people try to change by the rehearsal of religious traditions or by the exercise of rituals, and we see that in many so-called Christian churches. It's just another attempt for man to try some way to affect change in his life. Instead of realizing and acknowledging that only by the power of God through our Lord Jesus Christ can real change take place, we try to fix things so that we in some way can make ourselves better. And we can't do it. So there must be in salvation, whether it's initial salvation by putting your faith and trust in Christ, or day-to-day sanctification and salvation, deliverance by God, we must put our trust in Him to transform us, in His supernatural power to effect real change in our lives. Otherwise, we're just setting up another sandcastle of man trying to save himself. And this is the essence. It is the problem that from the beginning was man's rebellion against God. For man trying to be his own Lord, his own God, to frame his own reality, to make things the way he sees it, instead of submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and knowing the power of God at work within us. So, how do we expect change? And let me just say this, we must behold the glory of Christ, okay? The glory of the cross. And let me show you what I'm talking about. If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3:18, here's another instance in the Scripture. You know, that word transformed was used in Romans 12:2, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's also used here, and it's actually translated in most translations, changed here. But in 2 Corinthians 3:18 it says, but we all with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, that's our word, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's a powerful verse. What is it saying? It's saying this, that as we, it's like looking in the mirror. It uses this beautiful little picture. But we go in the morning, we look at the mirror and we say, oh, there's something in my teeth. And you take your toothbrush and you clean it out and you straighten out the image. Well, in this picture, there's the image of Christ, the reflection of seeing by faith Jesus Christ and the transformation that takes place when we see His beauty. We see the beauty and the glory of His character and His attributes. And when we see that, we don't want anything else. You heard the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His glorious face. And then the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, right? When we see His glory, it has a transforming effect. When we see, by faith, we lay hold of the fact that Jesus Christ died, and that great love that was expressed in His substituting for you and dying in your place as a sinner in order that you might live, that's transforming. In fact, there's no transformation apart from what we're celebrating this morning, the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything stems from the reality that He did away with what we could not do away with. The problem of being slaves to sin, the problem of the just penalty of sin, which was, the Scripture says, the wages of our sin was death. Christ took it on the cross of Calvary, and He abolished it through His blood. His shed blood was the one thing that was sufficient to deal with the ongoing problem in the human heart, and why mankind is selfish and self-focused and prideful, and seeking to be His own God. Submission to our God and Creator, submission to Him and seeing His glory is transforming. That's why when we come to church this morning, what we pray for is that we can glimpse the glory of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, you didn't come here just to sit on a pew or to be entertained with some nice music or those things. Our desire, hunger, is to see Him, to know Him, to get a glimpse of that glory of our Lord and Savior. And our celebration of the Lord's table is designed for that very thing, that we can by faith embrace the reality of the nature of Jesus Christ, and it changes us. It's transforming. Those are the things that are beautiful. So when we look upon His attributes, the glory of His love and His kindness, His mercies, when we see the life of Jesus Christ and those things begin to be pronounced, then we no longer yearn for and take hold of the things that are passing and temporal here that would conform us to this world. But we're being transformed. We're being changed. Why? Because we have spent time, we've been in the presence of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you want to pray something for our church body, pray that we'll know the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Know it in fullness, to increase the knowledge of Him. So how do we do that? Well, we study and learn about the attributes of God, that He's sovereign, that He's in control of all of these things that we mentioned this morning in our prayer time. He has control of these areas of our lives. And in His sovereignty, He's always working things together for good for His people. He always has a plan. He's never without a purpose in our lives. He's always working and weaving things for His greater glory. Can you trust Him in that way? Only if you know Him. Only if you know how His greatness. Can we learn to have faith and grow in faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ? And it's transforming. We will transform as God's people when we put our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to behold His glory. Now let me just make two points about that. One, first, we behold Christ's glory by faith. And the Scripture says in 1 Peter, you can mark the verse down, 1:8, "And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but you believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of joy." Now He's talking with the believers there in 1 Peter. He's written this epistle to them, and He's talking about their faith. And He says, your faith is precious to God. And it will result to the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And it's more precious than gold or precious stones. Anything of value that we see in this earth, your faith to God is more valuable than all of these things, than the greatest wealth on this earth. And so, though we have not seen Him, yet we believe. We look to the Lord Jesus and put our trust in Him. He is our salvation from the penalty of our sin. He is our deliverance from the slavery and bondage of sin. God has done it through Jesus Christ. And though not having seen Him, in other words, it is by faith that we live in Jesus Christ. We believe and we trust Him. You can't trust someone that you don't know. Therefore, but if we trust Him and as to who He is, that He has the power to do what He said He would do, and that He has the willingness in His compassion to look upon us and do what He said He would do, that's a glorious thing. There's rest, there's faith, there's peace there for the believer that comes to salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, faith is preparation for your time in heaven. Because in heaven, we're going to see the Lord Jesus in His glory face to face, won't we? In John 1:14 now, in the past, there were believers that saw Jesus face to face. They saw the Word who took upon Himself flesh. His glory was cloaked. But nonetheless, the Scripture says, the apostles say that we beheld His glory. And they declared that in John 1:14, where it says, "The Word became flesh," speaking of Jesus, "and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So So we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The glory of God was brought down to earth in the Word who was made flesh. He dwelt among us. And we looked upon Him, the apostles said. And they recorded it. And they said, hey, we saw Him here. And we proclaim these things about Jesus Christ. And so we have this record in the past of His being seen face to face. The Word who took upon Himself flesh. In John 20:29, Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen Me, have you believed? Remember that Thomas had to put his hands in the nail prints and in his side. And he said, now have you believed? And he says, blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And He was speaking of us. He was speaking of you. Jesus was saying, there will be those that come after you that do not see the Word who came to dwell in flesh, face to face and person to person, do not hear My teaching, but it will be passed on through your writings, through the Word of God, through the Bible, and people will believe by faith. Okay, so faith is essential in salvation, to behold the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say this, just in closing, in the future we're going to see the Lord Jesus by sight. In fact, in John 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now are we children of God. We're now, present tense, children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be, future, will be in the future. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him face to face. Just as He is. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the rapture of the church and we see Him face to face, there will be a transformation. This body of sin and death, this body of mortality will put on immortality. And we will know the fullness, and it will be displayed, the fullness of who we are as the children of God. And we believe these things and hold them by faith. So yes, people can change. And we want to take some time now as we go to the Lord's Supper. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we want to take just a moment and confess any known sin. Because God has made provision not only for us to have salvation in Jesus Christ, deliverance from the penalty of our sin, but as we walk through life and step in sin and commit sin, God has provided a way whereby we can be cleansed. From 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're here this morning and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to celebrate with us. If you have put your trust in Him for your salvation, then this is an open communion for all who have believed. If you have not believed, then just watch and observe what takes place. And consider what it means that Christ substituted. He died for us. And basically these elements are a sermon to declare His death until He returns. And so we're looking and remembering what Christ has done on our behalf. So if we would, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads. And if you have any known sin, it's a good time to confess that. He'll forgive your sin, cleanse you from unrighteousness, and then you're changed to the extent that you can worship at His table this morning. I would like to ask the men to come that would be passing the elements for us this morning.